Building on page Lamed Zion in Brachos, paragraph Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
Turn right to it. Beautiful.
So middle of Ois Nun Dalad. So we were talking about yesterday about the Brachos of Shema. We were talking yesterday about the Brachos of Shema. We talked about the Nusach of the first one begins Yotzer Ovar Chosh Chosh Shalom Uvar Esakol, and then. And why we do that, why we have to mention Ur and Choshech, and then the Gemara goes on to talk about the Nusach of the second bracha. So now, in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Likris...
Time out. You're in
the middle Lama page.
Zion, and then what?
The middle of the page. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. That's what I'm referencing. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Lishnais Adshalei Kora Krishma. If a person woke up early in the morning to learn Torah before he said Krishma, now you can have, for example, a person is, he hasn't yet said Krishma, or it may even be too early in the morning to say it yet. The earliest you can say it, the lachatchili, you're supposed to wait until Mishayakir, the diabet, if you can't, you can say it from Alois HaShafa. So tzarech levarech mishakarech Krishma, tzarech levarech. He has to say the brachas on Torah before he starts learning Torah. But mishakara Krishma, but if he already said Krishma in the morning, ain't sorech lavarech, he doesn't actually have to say the brachas on Torah first, shekvar nifter ba'ava rabba, because he's already yotze with the brachas of the Torah by saying ava rabba or ava solam, since we have in the middle over there, the same libenu bina lahobin lahaskil, luma du lamed, etc. So that counts as a bracha on Torah. And therefore, you wouldn't need to say the bracha on Torah anyway. Tosfos, actually, it's not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but Tosfos in the Gemara has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that, because there's a Yerushalmi on the parallel piece in Yerushalmi that says that works only if you say Birkas Krishma and Krishma, and then right after that learn Torah. So Tosfos says, in that case, if you follow that, then it would mean that if you're going to be learning later in the day, you would in fact have to make the brachas on Torah. And Tosfos goes on to discuss at some detail why taka is it. You may learn at different times during the day. Now we know, for example, let's say you go into the sukkah multiple times a day. Each time you go in to eat, for example, you make a bracha leishav sukkah. So taka, why don't you have to say birkas haTorah every time you're learning? And the answer is because there's no zman kavua for learning. All day is the appropriate time to learn. Mashenken, there are certain times for meal times, and therefore you'd make the bracha separately on the sukkah. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to say, because of this Yerushalmi, is taka why when we say the bracha, when we say morning brachas, after we say the brachas on the Torah, right away after that we say vaydaber and elu dvarim, and that way we're yotze talmud Torah. That way, even according to the Yerushalmi, we're still covering that, and we're learning Torah right away. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna, lemikra tzarech levarich. Say what? Birkas HaTorah, that's the thing. It covers Torah. What we're saying, that's what we're saying. We say Birkas Koyanim, and that way we're saying part of Torah right then and there. The point is, according to the Yerushalmi, you would have to do that. If you said the three brachas, until two or three brachas, you're showing and discuss whether Vaharavna is a separate bracha or not, but anyway, if you were to say the brachas and then not learn right after that, according to the Yerushalmi, that's no good, and you'd have to make them again later in the day. So therefore, so Tosfos says, in principle, the halacha may not be like that, because after all, the Bavli doesn't say anything like that. And when we have, if not, then that may mean that the Masadrim of the Gemara Bavli, Ravina and Ravashi, didn't hold that is valid up the halacha. Nevertheless, in order to be choshish for the Yerushalmi, is why we say Vaydaber, why we say Birkas Koyanim and Elu Dvarim right after. That way we're yotze no matter what. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna, lemikra tzarech levarech. If you're going to be learning mikra, if you're going to be learning Tanakh, then you have to make the bracha beforehand. Well, the medrash ain't tzarech levarech, but if you're only going to be learning medrash, which doesn't necessarily mean, it actually says we're not talking necessarily what we think of as medrashim, as a gadar. We mean medrashe halach. For example, Mechilta, Sifra, and so forth, which darish in the Psukim and explain how we derive the halachas from them. So Rav Huna says, Ein sarach levarech, you would not have to make a bracha before you learn that. Because he would say that the ikar and mikra, you have the wording of it is actually min hashamayim, whereas medrash and Torah Shabbat Peh b'chlal less so. The content, the content is what's important, the exact wording less so. So therefore, yeah. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says you do have to make a bracha whether you're learning mikra or whether you're learning midrash. The mishnah ain't tzarich levarich, but mishnah is still further away from the psukim, so that you wouldn't have to make a bracha for, because the difference is the midrashim, like sifra and sifri and so forth, they'll quote a pasuk and then they'll explain how we derive a halacha from that pasuk. Whereas the Mishnah, for the most part, doesn't quote the Pesukim at all. It just tells us the halachas without showing us where in the Mikra they come from. So therefore, he says that's too far away from Mikra to have to make a bracha. Then Rabbi Yochanan says no, even further. After Mishnah, it's Nami Tzarech Levarech. You have to make a bracha before you learn Mishnah as well. Avol Talmud ain't Tzarech Levarech. When you're learning Talmud, which is even further away, because then that's explaining what the Mishnayos mean, then that Rabbi Yochanan is saying you wouldn't have to make a bracha before you learn. But Rava Amar after Talmud Tzarech Lachzer Levarech. When Rava says no, you have to make a bracha even for Talmud as well, and we know that. And Rava says, how do we know that we have to do that? Many times I was standing as a Talmud in front of Rab, to learn our assigned section of Sifra de Bei Rab. So Sifra is a Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, where again it goes through the Psukim and explains how we learn the Halachas from them. It's called Sifra de Bei Rab because in fact it was arranged in the Yeshiva of Rab. So every day, Rav Chiya Ashi says, many times, I'd be standing as a Talmud in front of Rab when he's going to be teaching a section of Sifra Debei Rab, Hamamakdim Bekamoshi Yodi. He would first go and wash his hands, Ubarich, and make the brachas on the Torah, and then Umasnim on Pirkin, and then he would teach us the Perek of it. So we see, in other words, that you have to say the brachas on Torah. Now, of course, the question is, we said before that Medrash, that's in the category of Medrash, but the answer is, That when Rab is teaching it, he's not stam just saying the words. He's not just stam repeating the words of the Sifra. He's of course explaining them, and therefore, so that counts as Talmud. And we see that Rab knew that it was necessary to make the bracha before that. So therefore, Rav shows that for Talmud, you have to make the bracha on Torah first as well. Okay, the Gemara says, "My mevorich." What is the nusach of the brachas? Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel. The first bracha is Asher Kedushanim Mitzvayis Tzimanu Lasik with Divrei Torah. You have nusach Ashkenaz versus nusach Sfarad. Whether it's Lasik with Divrei Torah or whether it's Al Divrei Soda, as in our nusach, you have different Rishonim, have different Rishchos in the Gemara over here. So that's the first bracha. Rabbi Yochanan Masayim Ba. Rabbi Yochanan would continue the bracha as follows. Now, Masayim Ba implies, it actually says, he holds that it has to be, like many brachas, we have a psicha and a chasima. You have to have a beginning, Baruch Ata Hashem, such and such, and then at the end, finishing off with Baruch Ata Hashem. So therefore, according to that, it comes out that Baharav No would actually be a continuation of the previous bracha. There are Rishonim who learn, and this is both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch, that in fact, Baharav No is a separate bracha. So in the Siddur, we have them printed as two paragraphs. That doesn't necessarily mean that, I don't know whether that means the Alter Rebbe held that they're actually two separate brachas or not. But in fact, in Nusach Ashkenaz, they say Harevna without the Vav, showing clearly that they hold it to be a separate bracha. Whereas we have Viharevna, so it could be either way. It's on two different pages, yeah. That's true. I mean, it's interesting, when you have at the end of Hamavir Shein Me'enai, the Alter Rebbe makes a point of mentioning there, you should know that's not the end of the bracha. Don't say Amen over there. He doesn't say it after Al Divrei Soda, implying maybe that Itaka holds that it's separate brachas. So Rabbi Yochanan continues that the next part of the bracha, or the next bracha goes, Harivna Hashem alakenu as divrei sarascha b'finu. Hashem, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Over fifiyes amcha beis Yisrael, in the mouths of your people, the house of Yisrael. V'niya anachna v'tzetzeinu, and we and our descendants, v'tzetzoi amcha beis Yisrael, and the descendants of your people, the house of Yisrael. Kulonu yodei shemecha, all of us should be people who know your name. Which knowing Hashem's name means more, of course, than just knowing that there exists a name Yud Kei Vav Kei. It means to know what Hashem's name and is all about, to have some idea of what a lakus is. But oiske sarasecha, and then who are occupied with your Torah, Baruch Ata Hashem Amalamed Torah Lam Yisrael. But bless you, Hashem, that you teach Torah, who teaches Torah to his people Yisrael. Rav Hamnuna Amar, and then Rav Hamnuna says there's another bracha. He's a or actually it, each of them. And Rav Hamnuna is not necessarily saying that you say the brachos that we said before as well as the one that he's going to say now. He may hold that you say exclusively the bracha that he's going to say now. The Gemara ends up saying afterwards that since we have all of them, we Taka should say all of them. So Rav Hamnuna, Omar, he says the bracha is Asher bachar banu kolamim, Hashem chose us from all the nations, v'nosan lanu as terasa and gave us his Torah, baruch atah Hashem, noisin haTorah, you are blessed Hashem who gives the Torah. Gives, you have the famous explanation from the Taz, because Hashem is always giving us the Torah. It's not just Matan Torah, it wasn't just a one-time event. Every day the Eibush Day is giving us the Torah over again. Yeah. Maybe Taka means Yodish Mecha through Oiske Torah Secha. Maybe, I don't know.
The day before, and
maybe also, I mean, you know, you have b'chlal. What does it mean that you make a bracha on the? What does it mean b'chlal? The whole point of making a bracha on Torah, and you have the famous thing that the Gemara mentions elsewhere. That why was there a churban shalei berachah b'Torah tchila? It was the famous explanation from the Bach that the vort is a person learns Torah. He can't just be learning it as a science or something like that. He has to be learning it with a connection to the noisin haTorah. So maybe that's why Taka first we put Yodah Shmecha to stress that point. First, the Yid has to have a connection with Shmecha, with the Eibishter's name. And then after that, there can be Lomdei Sarasecha. It's interdependent, right? I mean, Chochmah and Yira, I mean, Yira and Chochmah, but you have to start somewhere. Anyway, so the Gemara ends up saying, though that here in Ein Yaakov it's left out, but the Gemara ends up saying that actually Rav Hamnuna's is the best of all of these brachas, it's Me'ula Sheba brachas, and that you should say all of them. Taka, the fact that he said, Taka, the fact that it calls it Me'ula Sheba brachas, is why that one particularly is picked, that we say it when a person gets an aliyah. Why don't when a person gets an aliyah? Why don't we say Al-Dibre Serda? Why don't we say Mahar Abna? Because the Gemara is calling this one the best of these three brachas. So what's the significance of having three brachas on Torah? So Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif explains that they represent three different parts of Torah. You have Torah Shebichsav. We just said before you have Mikra Mishnah and you have Mikra Mishnah and Mikra Midrash and Mishnah. So corresponding to those, then you have the three brachas. Marshah here says something else. Also, when you talk about anything, when you talk about something positive in the world, you can talk about it's positive in one or more of three different ways. It can be good, it can be pleasant, and it can be useful. So the Torah has all those three things. It's Toiv. And therefore, we start by saying, Asher Kedishanu, that Hashem made us holy, meaning that we can reach the level of the Malachim by learning Torah, which that's the ultimate good. Then, Vaharivna, that Hashem should allow us to realize how sweet the Torah is, that it's Oriv, that it's sweet and pleasant. And then, Asher Bocha Bar Mikol Amim, that Hashem gave us the Torah that gives us a practical use, that through that we become greater than all the other nations. And therefore, that's why he says, that's why we say all those three brachos, says Marsha, in order that we should have all those, in order that we should realize all those three aspects of learning Torah.
It's a great supposed
yeah?
Brachos
are said in
Disney.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. The Gemara says, Tinan Hossam. So further on, the Gemara starts a discussion of, two related points. Number one are the brachos of Krishma Ma'akiv, Krishma, in other words, can you be Yotze Krishma without saying the brachas? And also, do the brachas have to be said in order? So in fact, the Gemara is going to have a discussion. Lahalacha, in fact, we're going to say that it's not. You can be Yotze Krishma without the brachas. There's a famous point that Rashba points out in one of his Shurvas, that whatever brings it in a different context in Tanya, that really, when you think about it, the brachas of Shema are not really, the most brachas that you say before mitzvah are directly connected to the mitzvah. To do such and such. The brachas of Krishma don't really seem to have anything directly to do with Krishma, which is why we're saying that they're not ma'akim. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the idea is because they're meant to develop in you a sense of yira to the Eibishter, first to realize that he created the sun and moon and planets and the malachim and all these great things, and they all worship Hashem. And they all bow down and they all realize they're bittul to the Eibishter. So that itself, you have a famous thing that Alter Rebbe said in Tanya, if you were to walk into a royal court and you see everybody bowing down to one person, you may not know that he's the king, but you're going to have a pachon from him. So that's the content of the first bracha. And then the second one is to develop an ava to the Eibishter, realizing what an ava he showed to us and how we should reciprocate that to Hashem. So that's why, Taka, that's why the Chachamim set those up, the brachas before Shema, even though they're not, other than that, as the Rashba points out, they really have nothing to do per se with Shema itself. So in the course of that discussion, the Gemara brings, Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Tamid, So you have a Masechta Tomid talks about the daily schedule in the Beis Hamikdash. So it describes how they shecht and they would shecht the Korban Tomid, sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, and then now they cut it up, the Mitach Oisel and Tzachayah, which is also currently in Gimel Parakim of Rambam. It was yesterday's Gimel Parakim of Rambam, how exactly you cut it up. Then they take the pieces of the Tomid and they put them on the Kevesh, on the ramp of the Mizbeach, and they salt them. And then before they go and throw them onto the fire of the Mizbeach, comes our Mishnah over here. Tnan Hossam. So we learn a Mishnah in Tomid. Omalahem Amamuna. At this point during the Avoida, the Mamuna says to them, Rashi, he explains that the Mamuna is the Skana Koyanim, the Skan Koyan Godel. There are other Rishonim, the Raivet, and other Rishonim learn that it's not him, but rather somebody else who's specifically in charge of this. Anyway, he tells them, Borchu Brocha Achas, say one Brocha of the two Brochas before Shema, Vehem Berchu, and they would say that Brocha. So the Gemara goes on to discuss which Brocha that is. The point is that this is very early in the morning. They would shech the Korban Tomet as soon as possible after Alois HaShach. So by the time we've reached this point in the Avodah, it's really too early to be saying Kriya Shema in a L'Hatchila Dika way. The L'Hatchila Dika way is to say it closer to Netzacham. We learned before about the Vasikin, who would say it right before Netzacham, so they then say Shemana Esrei right after it. So this is really too early in the morning to be doing a proper davening. They also don't have the time because they have to do the rest of the Avodah. They have to do the rest of the Avodah of the Korban Tomid, and then there needs to be the whole day available, most of the day available for people to bring korbanos. But right now, at this point, in the middle of the avoda, they would say certain parts of davening where the idea is not so much to be yotze davening that they're going to do after they finish with the korban tamid, but rather in order that they should daven that the korban should be in a scabbard. The korban should be accepted by the Eibishter. In fact, Hakosev discusses over here at some length. He says that usually he says I don't bring in halacha dika things in Ein Yaakov. The whole point of Ein Yaakov is supposed to be agadta. So why am I bringing in this Mishnah and the whole discussion on it? And he says one reason is because we should realize how important it is, how the avoda of the korbanos, as important as it is, depends on the avoda of tefillah. And without having the avoda of tefillah along with it, it's incomplete. And then he goes on to say, in a way, the avodah of tefillah is greater than the korbanos. The korbanos you can only do in one place in the world, only in the Beis Hamikdash. Tefillah you can do anywhere. So he tells them, say one bracha of Shema, and the Gemara goes on later on to discuss which bracha that is. So they said that. The koru aseres hadibris. Then they would say the aseres hadibris. Now, why we don't do that in shul, we'll talk about soon. Shema v'hoyim Shemaya v'yomer. Then they'd say the three parashiyos of Shema. Uberchu asa'am gimel brachas. Then they would bless es ha'am, means with the people. So it doesn't mean they would bless the people. It means that they would say the brachas together with the people, together with whatever other people were in the Beis Hamikdash at the time. They would say gimel brachas, three brachas of davening. Emes v'yatziv, which is the bracha after Shema, va'avoida and the bracha ritzei. Rashi brings the nusach over here now, and the bracha of Ritzei, as we say it now, includes that we ask Hashem to return the Shechina to the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't need to do that. The Shechina is already there. So their nusach, Rashi brings, Ritzei Hashem alakeinu avodas am for Yisrael, the Ishi Yisrael sfalasim kabel baratzen, and they would finish, instead of where we can do, where we have the Hoshav as avodah l'dvir b'secha, they didn't have to do it. Where we have the secha zena inenu, they didn't have to have that either. Instead, they finish off, I'm a kabbal, avodas am Yisrael baratzen, blessed is Hashem, who accepts the avodah of his people Yisrael with favor. Or Rashi says another possible nusach was sha'os chalavad chabayira navod, that we serve you alone with Yira, which in fact, the Nusach Ashkenaz, on days when they have Duchening, they attack to finish the bracha Ritzei with that Nusach. So they would say that bracha, Avoida, or Birkas Koinim, and then they would say Birkas Koinim. Now Rashi explains that Birkas Koinim here means actual Duchening. So even though, so Rashi explains the rest of the tefillahs, they didn't have the time to duchen, because again, they're busy with the avodah, but he, and even the Shema that they're saying, he was really earlier than the time, but they would say Birkas Koinim now, because they're not going to have time later in the day. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses, not here in the Gemara, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, it's printed in the Gemara, that it doesn't necessarily mean that they actually said Birka, they didn't actually duchen, they duchen later on, it describes in the Mishnayos and Talmud. So different, so Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah and different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities, what Birkas Koyanim means over here. It can mean that they just said Alekeinu V'Alekei Aviseinu. It can mean that in that they said the psukim like we do it now, like when the chazan says Alekeinu V'Alekei Aviseinu. It could even mean that they left that out and just said Bochenim Abrocham Shaleshes without even quoting the psukim at all. It can also mean that they said the bracha Sim Shalom, which can be called Birkas Koyanim because it comes right after Birkas Koyanim and because it has the theme of Shalom, which is the end of Birkas Koyanim. The Rambam says today what? today in today's Rambam, we don't have it in today's Rambam. It's going to be in a few days in Tfinin and Musafim. Today we're still in Maaseh Karbonos. Yeah, in Maaseh Karbonos. I don't know. Maybe in Sefer Ma'al. Anyway, over Shabbos may sifin brocha achas. Over Shabbos may sifin brocha achas the mishma hayotze. On Shabbos they would add an extra brocha for the departing mishma. We know that mishmaris would switch over on Shabbos. The outgoing mishma would do the tamid shel shachar, and the incoming one would do the tamid shel ba'abayim. So now they would say a special brocha for the outgoing mishma. So now let's analyze. The Gemara says, "Oma ma'ar v'kori naseris adibris v'chola." So first the Gemara goes into the whole discussion of which of the two brachas of Shema did they say, and the Gemara has a whole discussion about it. L'maskona, the Gemara says the one bracha that they said was Avas Olam or Ava Rabba, depending which nusach you follow, which goes to show the Gemara says that you see that the Seder brachas is not ma'akev because they're saying that and they're only going to say Yotze Or later on in the morning. So then the Gemara says, Omamar, Vakurin Aseris Adibris, that they would say Aseris Adibris, so before Shema. So Omar of Yehuda Omashmo, after Gvulin Bikshu Likris came, the Chachamim wanted to set that up. That should be done in other places as well, outside the Beis Mikdash. Elashikva Bitlu Mepne Tar Umas Apikursim. But they had to be Mevatlut because of complaints from the Apikursim. Rashi says over here, Apikursim means actually Urjik Chachavim, means Goyim. So we're not even talking about minim or apikursim among Jews. We're talking Poshet Goyim. They would think, they would start claiming to the Amei Ha'aretz among the Jews. They would say, you see that only the Aseres HaDibros are the true Torah. The rest of it, you see that even there, they're only saying what Hashem publicly said to the Jewish people and what was heard by Har Sinai and not everything else. So they're gonna use that to be Mesis, the simple Jews, to not believe in the rest of the Torah. So Ion Yaakov says, okay, what about Shema? The fact is, Shema wasn't said by Har Sinai either. And how the Amei Ha'aretz going to fall for such an argument? So they say, okay, because the Goyim would claim, these Apikursim would claim to the Amei Ha'aretz, you know why you're saying Shema and Parashas Tzitzis? Because you're wearing tefillin, you're wearing tzitzis at the time, so therefore, naturally enough, you should say the Parashias about them. But other than that, if you're saying specially Aseres HaDibros, then that implies that only those are from Hashem and the rest of Chas V'Shalom not, and therefore the Chachamim had to be Mevatel it. By the way, in this in an interesting discussion in this connection, what about we find another place where we give the Aseres HaDibros special prominence? We stand up when they're laying in shul. So in fact, the Rambam writes in a tshuva based on this Gemara, you shouldn't do that, Taka, because you're going to have the same problem. On the other hand, many other different Rishonim and Achronim disagree with the Rambam on that, and they point out various reasons why that's not a concern. It's less of a concern when you're reading the Torah. Eina Chanami, you can say, the fact is, look, we know it was Maimed Har Sinai, it was fire and smoke and the whole thing over there. So yeah, we should give it a certain Chashivus and stand up for it. It's different when you're saying it in Shul. That then if you say it, then they're going to think that only that is from Hashem and not everything else. What? Yeah. Okay. Well, some people stand the whole Korea, but anyway. Yeah. So the Maisa, of course, we know that in general, pretty much everybody does. So the Gemara continues. Tani Nami Hochi. We learn similarly in the Braisa. Rab Nosson Omer B'Gvulin Bikshu Likris Kain. The Chachamim wanted to arrange that in the Gvulin outside the Beis Mikdash as well. Elashikra Bitlum Abnei Tarumas Apikursim. But the same problem. They Apikursim, and therefore they couldn't do that. And another one. Rabbi Babachana Sovel Mikbeinim with Surah. So now Rabbi Babachana thought to establish that in Surah. Surah is in Babel, so maybe there's not such a problem of apikursim there. Even here in Babel, even in Surah, you have the same problem, so we can't do that. The same way Amema, who was the Rav in Nahudah, wanted to arrange it over there. So the bottom line is we don't. Although, with that said, there are poskim who learn that all of this is to make it a standard thing for the tzibur to say, but that a yochid can say it on his own, and Yitaka will find sidurim where it's printed after davening or before davening or at some point in it to say Aseres HaDibros. Tosfos, by the way, it's printed later on, further on, and Ein Yaakov quotes from the Yerushalmi that nevertheless, we're not actually losing out on the Aseres HaDibros altogether. They are merumas here and there in the words of Krishna. Every one of the Aseres HaDibros, there's something in Krishna that is merames to one of the Aseres HaDibros. And the Yerushalmi goes through it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha corresponds to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Lo Yilecha corresponds to Hashem Echad. Lo Sisa corresponds to V'yahavta, where the Yerushalmi says the idea is the same way. If you love a king, you're not going to swear falsely in his name. The same way, if you love the Eivishter, you're not going to swear falsely in his name. As Zohar, as Yom HaShabbos, you have L'man Tizkiru V'asisim as Kol Mitzvah, because after all, Shabbos is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha, you have Laman Yubu Yamechem Yamevenechem. Lois Sirtzach, the Yerushalmi says, you have Vavadim Mehera, because if a person kills, we know, Al Da Teif Dat Fuch, you drown people, so therefore you yourself would drown. So therefore, a Ritzeach is likely to end up in the problem of Vavadim Mehera, so therefore that's a hint to not do that. Lois Sinaf, you have Lois Asuru Achre Levavchem Vachre Enechem, because that's what leads a person to Niyuf. Lois Signov is, you have Vasafta Degonecha, you should gather your grain, implying not somebody else's. You have Ani Hashem Alekeichem, you say afterwards MS, so the Eibishter is the source of truth, so therefore don't testify falsely against a fellow Yid. And Lois Sachmoid is Sabtam Amazuzas Pesechcha, again, you have your own house, not that you're looking to desire and try to buy away somebody else's house. So therefore, you actually have that all of them are Merumas in the Aseres Hadikas, in Kriyashma, I mean.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Because they have the person, so many places on the back door.
Yeah. Any other such example where they're mavato something because of Tarumas Aminim?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. The only other example I can think of off the top of my head is, well, actually, no, there are some. First of all, for example, it used to be very common, you find throughout Tanakh, when people would daven, they would have their hands outstretched up to Shemayim. But eventually the Goyim started taking on that way of davening, and therefore they were mavatolet, and nobody davens that way anymore. The same way kneeling, the same way a bunch of other things. So I guess you have something along those lines. But the point is the fact is we don't just say that something is chukas agoyim just because they do it, because if we did it first, then what's the problem? But, right. That's true. I don't know, one other example I can think of, the Gemara mentions in Psachim that there were places where they had the minhag to say Baruch Shem out loud, because otherwise you have the minim or whoever, or they're going to think that we're whispering a curse to them or something. No, that's something else. I'm talking about Baruch Shem in Shema. When we say Baruch Shem quietly, that the Gemara mentions there in Psachim that there were places where they used to say it, where they had no choice but to say it out loud because of Tarumas like that, because the Goyim or the minim or whatever are going to think that we're cursing them out. But that minhag didn't stay, whereas this minhag did. But yeah. So then we said of a Shabbos Mesifin Brocha Achas the Mishmah Hayotzi. We said on Shabbos in the Beis Mikdash, the Kohenim would add an extra Brocha for the Mishmah Hayotzi. My Brocha Achas, so what is that one Brocha? Omer Rav Chelbi, Mishmah Hayotzi, Omer the Mishmah Hanichnas, means that the outgoing Mishmah would say to the incoming Mishmah, Misha Shikin Es Shmoi Babayis Hazeh, Hashem who made his name rest in this house in the Beis Mikdash, who Yashkin Menechem Abba Achor Shalom Ereus, may he cause to dwell between you love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. Why do they need that bracha? Maharsha mentions that the Gemara in Yuma had the Mishnah, and the Gemara in Yuma have a story where at one point, now it describes over there in the Mishnah, they had to determine every day which Kohenim are going to be doing which Avodas. There's a lot more Kohenim than there are Avodas. So eventually they set up a system of pious where they would make they'd go and count fingers around and then do that way. But originally it says over there they would have a foot race up the Kevesh, and whoever won would be the one to do the Avodah. And then one time it happened, one of them one guy pushed the other one off and he broke his leg, and another time somebody actually stabbed the other one. So now they had to make this bracha that it shouldn't be that way. You need an extra bracha that there should be Abavach or Shalom Bereus among yourselves. Okay,
so that's where it came from.
Further on, the Gemara goes on to talk about more about the dinim of the brachas of Shema. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba Bachinina Sovim, Shmei de Rab, Kol Misha like Omer Emes V'yatziv Shachris, the Emes V'amuna Arvis. If a person does not say the Nusach, Emes V'yatziv in the morning and Emes V'amuna in the evening, Lo Yotze Yedei Chevasoi, then he's not Yotze his Chova. Many of the Rishonim say it doesn't literally mean he's not Yotze Es Chova at all. The fact is Shema D'Oraisa, again, doesn't require the brachas, but that he's not Yotze Es Chova in the really proper way. Although there are some of them who tackle learn that maybe it means that the Chalim are saying in that case he's not Yotze Kriya Shema at all. Shenemar, and the reason we have it that way, Shenemar Lahagid Baboker Chasdefa, to tell about your kindness in the morning, Ve'emunos Chabalelis, and your faithfulness in the nights. So Rashi explains, Emes V'yatziv, we focus on the chesed that the Eibishter did for us by taking us out of Mitzrayim and splitting the Yamsuf. And Mesvem Muna is talking about, it mentions that as well, but then it goes on to talk about the future. And so forth. We're not just talking about what happened in the past. We're saying that we rely and we trust that Hashem will continue to protect us and continue to fulfill his promises to us in the future. So you have to say both of those things. So it's important to show, in other words, that not just that you believe that Hashem acted on our behalf in the past, but that you believe that you trust that Hashem will continue to do that in the future. They say, Taka, there's the difference between emunah and bitachon, and that emunah is sort of more an abstract thing. You believe that Hashem can accomplish. Bitachon is more of a concrete thing that you trust that the Eibishter will do such and such. So Tosfos brings another point as well, that when we say emes ve'emunah, we also have in mind that it means the faithfulness that the Eibishter takes back on the Shama every night and then gives it back the next morning faithfully. That's also included in emes ve'emunah. So a person has to have that mentality also, that he trusts Hashem, regarding that. Hakosef points out over here also that day and night represent respectively Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. So the Osid Lover, sure, we're going to have Emes V'yatzev. It's clear and true, and it's clear and obvious to us what the Emes is. Nowadays, we're in the night of Golos, and it's not so obvious, but we have a Muna nonetheless that in the Eibishter and in what he does for us. So the Gemara mentions, since we mentioned one thing that Rabbi Bar Chinin HaSava says in the name of Rab, so as usual, the Gemara brings another thing. But Omer Rabbi Bar Chinin HaSava Meshmei de Rab, Hamaspalu, when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, Kshu Kireya, when he bows, Kireya B'Boruch, he should bow by the word Boruch. Or Kshu Zoykef, when he straightens up, Zoykef Hashem, then he should straighten up when he says Hashem's name. So Alpi Kabbalah, we have that Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Dezoya, we bend our knees at Baruch, and we bow our head at Atta, and then we straighten up by Hashem. But the Medina de Gemara, you just need two things, one to bow and one to straighten up. Amar Shmuel, my time of the Rab. So Shmuel says, why does Rab say that? What's the inyan of straightening up by Hashem's name? Dichtiv Hashem Zoykif Kufin. As you have the pasuk, Hashem straightens up the bowed. So therefore, when a person shouldn't be saying Hashem's name with still in a bowing position. Habona at the bottom of the page over here explains that it also represents the idea in Ra Yodin Milamaila. So we shouldn't be saying Hashem's name in a bowed position, as if like to imply, which would then imply that Hashem causes us to be bowed and to be bent over and crooked. Rather, we need to straighten up at that point to show that we recognize that the Eibishter is the one who makes it possible for us to stand straight. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction. A pasuk says, Mipnei Shmi Nichasu. In the presence of my name, Hashem says, he, it's talking about that about over there, about the ideal Koyin, Nichasu, he's Bachna, he's subjugated in front of me. So doesn't that mean that Taka, when a person says Hashem's name, he should be subjugated and bowed over? The Gemara says just the opposite. Miksiv Bishmi. It doesn't say in my name. Mipnei Shmi Miksiv. It says before my name. So yeah, before you say Hashem's name, then you bow down. But when you reach Hashem's name, then you straighten up. So the Gemara continues. Amale Shmuel L'Chia Bar Rav. So now in this connection, Shmuel tells Chia Bar Rav. Now Rav passed away a few years before Shmuel. So here, Chia Bar Rav apparently did not know this vote that his father had said. So therefore, Shmuel has to tell it to him. He says, Bar Urion, son of Torah, Tov Emalach Milsa Malyasa de Amar Avuch. Let me tell you a beautiful vote that your father Rab said. Hochi Amar Avuch, this is what your father said. What we just said, Krukareya Kareya Baruch. When you bow down, you bow down at Baruch. Uchshu Zoykif, Zoykif Hashem. And when you stand up straight, then you do it by Hashem's name. And the Gemara adds, Rav Sheshes ki kora kora kechizra. When he would bow during Shemana Esrei, he would bow down like a chizra, which is, Rashi says, means a stick that a person holds. When you lower a stick, it's not a gradual thing; you do it all at once. The same way his bowing, he would do very quickly. Ki zokif, when we straightened up by Hashem's name, zokif kechivya, then he would straighten up like a snake, which is to say, Rashi says, means gradually. The point being that if he straightens up all of a sudden very quickly, the same way as he bowed down quickly, then he makes it look like the bowing was a burden to him, and you don't want to do that. So therefore, he would rise up gradually. The Oruch brings a different meaning of it also, that Korach Chizra, the Oruch says that a Chizra is a type of plant where the tip of it is bent over. So therefore he says the Vortes, in other words, when a person is bowing, he doesn't necessarily bow at the waist and keep his head straight, rather he bows with his head. He bows his head downward. And in fact, both things are brought in Shulchan Aruch, so you have both things to be careful of when a person is davening Shemana Esrei and doing the bowing and the standing up. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, Aleph Cheshvin, same second day of Rosh Chodesh. It says in Yalkut Shimoni that the first Beis Hamikdash was actually completed in Chodesh Mar Cheshvin. Actually, it says that in the Pasuk. But they didn't actually open it, says the Yalkut Shimoni, until the following Tishrei, which is where they had the Chanukah of Ice, the following Tishrei, 11 months later. So they actually started 2 days before Yom Kippur. They started on Ches and went through Yud Dalet, and then it went together with the 7 days of Sukkot. We're right after that. Shivas Yomim v'Shivas Yomim Abbas Yoyim. They had 14 days of Simcha back to back, seven for the Chanukah Sabbais and seven. Yeah, it included Yom Kippur, and you have the famous Gemara in Moed Katan that they ate that Yom Kippur and they were worried about it, etc. Yeah. So the Yalkut Shimoni continues that this was you have the same kind of thing when Moshe built the Mishkan. The work of making it was completed in Kislev. When did they set it up? Only in Nisan. So the Eibishter said, in that case, I owe Kislev something. And then the Eibishter says, I have to pay back. So how did the Eibishter pay back? When the Chashminoyim rededicated the Beis Hamikdash, that took place in Kislev. So the same thing. The Medrash says, that means Cheshvin also, Hashem is going to pay back in the future. When is that going to be? The Chanukah Beis Hamikdash HaShlish. And Adrabba, the Rebbe says, since the Beis Hamikdash will be kiflaim the Toshia, that means the simcha that Cheshvin is going to have with the Chanukah Sabayis is going to be even greater than the simcha and everything that they had by the Chanukah Sabayis of Kislev. Right, yeah. So it should talk to be this Cheshvin, should talk to be right now. Continuing on halachos of macholos asuris. You're not allowed to make bread with milk because you might eat it with meat. And if you do, then it's taka also medrabon for that reason. Now, if on the other hand, if it's a small thing that you can eat all in one sitting, or if you make it a different shape, so you should remember not to eat it with meat, then it's mutter. And vice versa, if you make dough with fat or something other, some other flesh thing like that. Bread has to be pyre, basically, right? Again, unless either it's a small thing that you can eat in one sitting, like those milk burekas or whatever, or that it has a distinctive shape, so you'll remember that this shape of bread you can't eat with the other.
A simen,
yeah. More than just a simen. Shishinat suras hapas is the expression that he actually changed the form, the shape of the bread. It's not just enough to make a simen on the top of it. You might not notice the simen, especially after you cut up the bread.
I meant the actual whole thing itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Also, you have a dinim about you're not allowed to bake bread together with milchiks or fleishiks in the oven because some of the milchiks or the fleishik may run out and come under the bread. If it does, then you have the same din and you're not allowed to eat the bread by itself. Same problem because you have some of the milchik or some of the fleishik flowed underneath it. Now it's considered as though it was made. Then you have another din. What about if you're cooking meat or roasting meat in the oven and then at the same time you're baking bread? So then it depends. Then if the oven was closed and the meat was uncovered, then yes, that bread is going to be also to eat with milk. But if the meat was covered or if the oven is open and it was a large oven, then it would be mutter. Still, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do that because again, some of the fat may splatter or may run or whatever. And you be careful about that. He says, even if the meat is in a pan or something, even though on the face of it, there's no problem of anything running over there, but still be choshish for it.
The intense heat of the oven itself doesn't affect the bread.
No, because then you'd need a much more intense heat. No, you need liberal. That's actually the next halacha. He says that if you have a fat that lands on the bottom of the oven, then you need to actually do liberal in order to kasher it, to use it to in the future for, yeah.
Okay.
Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Matzah, Kosh Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Fichir Balam Chamitz,